Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. Oh my God, we're back. It's week 26. We've been here 26 episodes. I'm so glad to be here. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. You can find this Mediocrity Podcast on that, as well as iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men banner. Just type Multimedia Men into iTunes and you'll find all of our podcasts, including this amazing one, Mediocrity. I'm joined by always the amazing, the handsome, he's wearing a hoodie for some reason, Jonathan Atterbury out in Los Angeles. How are you?
What's up? I'm actually not in Los Angeles. I'm in Huntington Beach.
Oh, well, what's the difference?
Kind of a few miles.
a few miles?
Are you in Fort Worth?
I am definitely not in Fort Worth. I'm in Garland
how are you
right
doing,
now.
Man?
I'm doing all right. You doing
good.
All right? You still reeling off of Rogue One?
Of course. I'm forever reeling off of any Star Wars goodness.
Good.
And I'm wearing this hoodie because it's actually pretty cold out in here in the Orange County today.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's when I say cold for Orange County, I mean probably like 60 degrees, but it's also pouring rain and stuff like that. So it's just a little bit of a chill in the air.
Well, it is in the 70s here and it's very nice out, but it's about to rain. And we're also joined by the amazing, the talented Jeremy Miggert. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's all comic book stuff coming along? Give us an update.
It's good, man. I'm going to be jumping on it right after we get off this podcast.
Yeah? What page are you on? Are you on issue 3?
Issue 3, page 12, I think, today.
Well, damn the man. Save the Empire with your Texas Rangers hat.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. We're going to have fun today. We're going to talk about movies that we're looking forward to in 2017. We're going to talk about...
Is it just movies or is it things we're looking forward
things.
To?
Things. You're looking forward to my thing, I guess. Let's hope so.
I thought they would include video games and TV shows, perhaps.
Okay. Video games, TV shows. We're going to talk about all the things that we're looking forward to in 2017. Not limited to movies, but limited to... health
stuff.
Options. I don't know. We are also going to talk about Nicolas Cage's career, basically, how he went from big man on campus to small man on campus. But first, we are going to talk about, we kind of all grew up in the 90s. Jeremy grew up in the 50s, but we mostly grew up in the 90s.
He Jeremy's grew up in the 50s and was in his 50s in the 90s.
That was a weak sauce age joke.
That was a great age joke. I laughed.
That's because you're easy.
Yeah, I am easy. I am open 24/7. We all grew up in the 90s, and what movies really oozed 1990s, like Slap Bracelets and horrible outfits and weird music and, you know, tie-dye shirts were 90s too, you know? I don't know. You've got your tie-dye sweatshirt. I know. You're rocking it. You're stuck back into the
1990s. I thought tie-dye was more 60s, wasn't it?
Well, I guess I didn't mean tie-dye. I meant hypercolor.
Oh, you mean like neon
jeans,
stuff like
things
that.
Like that?
Yes. So what comes to mind? What's on your mind when we think about 90s movies?
Well, I think there's one movie that I have to say is the king of all 90s movies and the quintessential 90s flick. Any guesses as to what it might be?
Does it star Angelina Jolie?
No.
Okay. then well, I don't then know.
I'm going to go ahead and say Clueless.
Clueless.
I agree. That was going to be my pick for that too.
So what? What makes that movie so 90s?
Everything about it. I mean, okay. So look at the clothing. Look at the way they all spoke. The music. I mean, the soundtrack was a great soundtrack, but it was very just the culture. I think it perfectly captured the culture of the 90s. At least in Los Angeles.
At least, so were you living there at the time?
Well, yeah, I've grew up and lived in California and mostly Southern California my whole life.
Okay, all right. Well then.
Do you not think it's a 90s movie?
No, I definitely think it's a 90s movie. It has like a crazy 90s soundtrack. The sagging pants was really big back then, like a fashion statement.
The only thing that's weird is Paul Rudd still looks the same.
He does. He does. He has not aged.
It's bizarre.
It is weird. And like maybe was it like all the dialect too? Like as if.
Oh yeah, like all that like really hardcore 90s Valley Girl stuff was just really present in that movie.
Okay. Yeah, Clueless is definitely up there.
So that's I've got a few on the list, but that's my number one.
Well, what else is on your list?
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say another extremely 90s movie, Empire Records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn it. I love that movie.
That movie's like timeless, though, too.
It is. It's. I mean, so is Clueless, but it's just very 90s and with the music and everything. It's once again, it just really well captured the culture at that time. I've also got, you guys are going to like this one, Batman Forever.
U2's Hold Me, Kiss Me, Thrill Me, Kill Me.
Yeah, and Seal's Kissed by a Rose,
oh
right?
Oh my God, yes. God, I love that song.
That is one of those movies where every time I watch it, I go, this movie could have not happened, wouldn't have happened in any other decade except the 90s. This was just quintessentially, it had to be a 90s movie. You got Jim Carrey. Doing just being Jim Carrey, it was madness.
It was right when Jim Carrey was first popular and Nicole Kidman.
And Val Kilmer, everything.
Val Kilmer.
You even had Drew Barrymore, and it doesn't get much more 90s than Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Hell, you could put the movie Scream on that.
Yeah, I was going to say Scream would also be a good one. Okay, here's another one. Speed.
Yeah. I remember after Speed came out, Keanu Reeves' like shaved haircut, sort of say, everybody started doing that.
It was popular. That movie was popular as shit when it first came out. Everybody loved Speed.
The Carpenter
jeans.
I've got
one last on my list. I've got Clerks.
Clerks is just so amazing.
It's amazing and so very 90s.
It is absolutely very 90s.
Yeah. That's my list.
It's a very good list, sir. Jeremy, what about you?
Oh, man, for 90s stuff, in addition to Clueless, I had a T2.
Okay.
That's a pretty 90s one. It was funny, man, because when I was actually kind of looking into it, I realized there were a lot of super quotable movies that kind of came out of the 90s. Like you had... You had movies like Fight Club and Silence of the Lambs, and you had Matrix and The Big Lebowski and Pulp Fiction, and just a lot of pretty super quotable movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So what else you got?
I have Forrest Gump on there, too.
That's a good 90s movie, although to me it didn't really capture the – I mean it's a – in a way, it's very 90s, but also it is just kind of like another one of those timeless movies because it takes place in so many different time periods.
I thought we were just doing a kind of best of like favorite of 90s.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's the way I did my list because I had like Batman, the Mask of the Phantasm movie on there as well because that was a theatrical release in the 90s.
All right.
Right on.
Well, I like Mask of the Phantasm. That's a good stuff. I do like it. I had a 90s movie, Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one to put on the list.
I think that the arcades were still big back then, and that was like when like Noah's Arcade was like the big sponsor.
Yes.
And like going to donut shops and diners and like, yeah. And like they made fun of a lot of 90s stuff in that movie too.
Yeah. Just the, and the clothing, of course. The clothing is so incredibly 90s in that movie.
So crazy.
What about Ace Ventura?
Does Ace Ventura really stick to the 90s?
I would think that, to me, Ace Ventura feels like a 90s movie.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know.
I said Angelina Jolie at the beginning. Hackers.
Okay, that's a good choice.
Hackers is a complete 90s movie.
It absolutely is.
Because it's a very technology-driven movie, but oh my god, 1990s technology.
Yes, and fashion, and Matthew Lillard.
And Matthew Lillard, oh my god. Yeah, that was absolutely Hackers. And I think a very risque movie for the 1990s was Basic Instinct. I think that really paved the way for like Sharon Stone and nudity in movies in the 90s.
Well, yeah, I think that that's probably the reason Sharon Stone got famous, right? Wasn't that her first big, big role?
Yeah, I think that was her first big, 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 big role. I think that oozes 1990s really too. And you know what? You know what? Movie also came out in the 90s.
What?
The Big Lebowski.
Well, yeah, that's what Jeremy said.
And to go off of what he said, I think that might be the number one 90s movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That does feel like a 90s movie to me.
It totally is. Jeremy hit it right on the head. You knew what you were talking about, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I listed it.
He's the dude. No, like the fashion, the cars, just everything about it. It oozes 1990s. The briefcase with the old phone. and then the whole thing with like George Senior Bush, this aggression will not stand against Kuwait. Oh my god, it's so 90s.
What about The Rock?
The Rock.
Speaking of Nicolas Cage.
That is a good choice. The Rock and like there was a few action movies in that time period, like The Rock and Face Off and Broken Arrow. Things like that.
The Matrix.
And The Matrix, yeah.
Well, so The Matrix was the late 90s, but the first two definitely were 2000s.
I'm talking about the first one.
Yeah.
No one cares about the other two.
I like the other two. They're fun.
You can like them, but in large, no one cares about them.
Well, I'm trying to think because Matrix...
They only watch them when they're like are on in a row.
The Matrix is a very hard one to say that it oozes like the 1990s feel because it was a very futuristic movie.
But everybody's still running around with 90s haircuts in the future.
Yep, and 90s clothing.
That, to me, is a defining thing whenever you have a movie that's supposed to take place, like, in another time period.
Yeah.
It's like you watch something, you know, made in the 90s or 80s, and everything looks no different than the 90s or 80s, just with, like, different backgrounds. It's like same haircuts, that kind of stuff. And it's like when you watch Running Man. It's like far in the future, but everybody's just driving the exact same cars and have like VCRs and TVs and shit.
Same thing. Now it was Space Jam in the 1990s?
Yes, it was.
That's a very 1990s movie.
Oh, hell yeah. It doesn't get much more 90s than Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan and what's his name? Newman.
Yeah.
Hello, Newman. He's in that.
Yeah, there were a few kids' movies, like cartoons and stuff like that, that were extremely 90s movies, like Three Ninjas.
Three Ninjas! Oh, my God! That is the 90s movie ever! Three Ninjas! Oh, my God! I totally forgot. I love that movie. Rocky loves Emily. Oh, my goodness. I remember like the bad guys were like surfer dudes who were talked in a fashion like, let's score some radical salsa for these nachos.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, Three Ninjas. I had that on DVD. Is it on Blu-ray? I gotta get it on Blu-ray. You just blew my fucking mind right now.
I'm Three glad Ninjas. You liked that answer so much.
That is like the 90s movies ever, Three Ninjas. Oh my goodness.
And like, I think you gotta count Pagemaster as a pretty 90s movie too.
Oh, the movie Macaulay Culkin was in that everybody forgot about?
Yeah, pretty much anything with Macaulay Culkin is a 90s movie.
I forgot about the Pagemaster. My goodness. Oh, wow.
Oh, what about Street Fighter?
Was that 90s or 80s?
That was 90s. That was Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I remember seeing that in the movie theater. So I was, it was in the 90s.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
A movie that missed it by 1 year that would have been a great example is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah. That did capture.
That was like 89.
That was 89?
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
What about Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo? That was a 90s movie.
That also feels incredibly 90s, but more like it's funny because some of these movies just feel like 90s movies because of the production style.
That's true. But, you know, Three Ninjas, holy God, 1990s. Three Ninjas, look at you.
And wasn't it the third one that had Hulk Hogan in it?
Probably. Oh my God, Three Ninjas. We need to do a podcast just on Three Ninjas. I bet you we could get all three actors to come on the podcast too.
Well, yeah, we could probably take away from their shift at Papa John's or wherever they're working.
So sad. So sad.
Build him is epic.
Oh my goodness. You just brought like back so many memories.
I'm telling you, man, that was, you know, another 90s movie that leaps out to my mind is the Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick.
That was 1998, and I hate that I know that.
Can you tell me why you know exactly what year that was?
Because I've talked a lot about it over my years since it came out and how terrible it was.
Oh, such a bad movie.
And Led Zeppelin allowed Puff Daddy to remake Come With Me for that movie.
Cashmere,
yes.
That was the name of the song, and then yeah. He remade it to Come With Me.
Yes.
So much shame.
What's Jeremy laughing about?
You fucking up that song title.
It's called Come With Me, right? Puff Daddy didn't call it Cashmere, right?
Well, he called it Come With Me. It was called Cashmere.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie with Matthew Broderick, and I like Matthew Broderick. But the Godzilla movie of literally just a regular lizard that, you know, falls in a vat of nuclear waste and becomes Godzilla was so bad.
It was a bad, bad movie.
It was a very bad movie.
It was bad. Well, okay, so I think another one is we got to count Jingle All the Way.
It's a good one.
And I want to count the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Also good.
Wow.
And I also want to throw Hocus Pocus in there.
A lot of people like Hocus Pocus still.
Those are
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy,
yes.
And I think Black Sheep too, both of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, Tommy Boy was like the quintessential funniest movie of our lives back then. It still might be.
Just thinking of David Spade's haircut in those movies doesn't get much more 90s than that.
Seriously. That's very true.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is very 90s-esque. Oh, good job of that. So to our listeners, we're talking about 90s movies that like ooze the 1990s. We've named some really good ones. Big Lebowski.
That's what we're talking about. Jeremy's talking about anything that came out in 1990s.
Forrest Gump.
Liar, Liar.
Liar, Liar.
Liar, Liar is definitely a 90s movie.
Like all of the suits, all the lawyer outfits.
Box suits with the padded shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Pleated pants.
Yep.
Did y'all ever see The Disorderlies?
No.
That was a movie with the rap group The Fat Boys.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's a very 90s movie, too. What else was Will Smith in that was...
90s? Oh, Independence Day.
1990. That was 90... Ooh, was that 90...
Oh, the Bad Boys movies, I think, were both 90s.
Bad Boys 2 was in the 2000s. Bad Boys 1 was late 90s. Yeah. Because I remember Huh?
Here's a good one. What about Flatliners?
Oh my goodness, yes. They're remaking that or booting a sequel with like almost the whole cast again.
Really?
Yes.
With like old Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Strange.
Old Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer in Flatliners.
Yeah.
Sold.
Sold. Sold. All right. All right. So we're going to move on from this 90s talk because I've just I literally after this podcast, I really just want to go watch Three Ninjas. I so do. You have no idea. I've got to look to see if it's on Netflix.
You can live tweet it.
I can live tweet Three Ninjas. Oh, my God. All right. We're moving on. We'll save Nicolas Cage till the very end. But let's go on to what's coming out in 2017 that we're all looking forward to. Like the movies, video games, music, television shows. You name it. What's coming out in 2017 that you're really excited for? Jeremy, let's start with you.
Stuff coming out. I'm probably going to go with video games. I'm going with Mass Effect.
So when they announced at CES recently, you're sold, done, you're out until then, right?
Yeah, I was good. I mean, they did the release date before CES, and I haven't watched – if they've released anything at CES, I haven't watched it yet, but I was good to go. I'm ready.
You're ready?
All I needed to know was that we were getting another Mass Effect game, and I was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now we see about it, the more I'm into it.
Now that there's a hard release date, I'm ready.
Good. So besides the video games, what else movie-wise, television show-wise?
For me, I'm going to go with John Wick 2.
All right.
That is on my list as well.
Because that first one was so good. The new Spider-Man movie, because I'm curious about that. Looking forward to some Star Wars, some Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker dialogue that we didn't get in the last movie.
And we didn't get any Luke Skywalker dialogue, really.
I know. So, yeah, that's probably the Spider-Man movie also. I'm looking forward to seeing that and see how that plays out.
All right.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one as well.
Yeah. Those are probably – I got some other ones, but those are my biggest.
Those are the – that Spider-Man movie. Finally, good to see a Spider-Man movie from Marvel and not Sony.
Yeah. Well, I'm really hoping it's going to be excellent. I've got my fingers crossed. I'm ready for it.
All right, all right.
Oh, and Logan. Logan was another big one for me.
I'm definitely looking forward to Logan. Me too. I would have to say, video game-wise, definitely Red Dead 2. I can't wait.
Hell yes.
Red Dead 2 is going to be the game for me to get. Movie-wise, I'm really looking forward to Alien Covenant.
Dude, me too. That one's big on high on my list. I cannot wait for that.
Me too.
Were you a fan of Prometheus? Did you like that one?
I liked Prometheus, but not. I wasn't, you know, sucking anybody's dick about it.
Oh, see, I was sucking all the dicks apparently about it. I love that movie.
Not me.
I was sucking all the dicks apparently.
You didn't like that, Jeremy?
No, like everything looked great, but. Man, there was just a lot of kind of plot holes and some bad writing that were kind of a big turnoff for me for that movie.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I agree. I think I was excited to see Prometheus, but after watching it, and I watched it a couple times, it's just okay. It's very slow building. The characters aren't fleshed out. I didn't like a lot of the characters except for probably Idris Elba. And I didn't think it needed to happen.
The best example for me of that movie is the scene where the big spaceship is rolling and all the person had to do was kind of turn left or right to get out of the way and they get crushed.
Yes.
You know, when they do the same thing in that movie and then they do that in Sharknado, that's when you know maybe you need to do a little better job on your writing.
Well, it's the same thing you did with the steamroller in Austin Powers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome. That was good. But yeah, Alien Covenant looks damn good. Like, it looks, that trailer, I'm sold. And I will say this, I am looking forward to Justice League. I want to see DC's Avengers.
How can you still be optimistic about it?
I'm not optimistic. My bar is so low that maybe it'll just be awesome.
I'm cautiously optimistic in a morbidly curious way.
Yeah. I am too.
You're going to get Wonder Woman in the summer and then Justice League in the fall.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll end up going to see Wonder Woman just because Lauren digs that shit. But for me, if Wonder Woman is not good, I'm officially tuning out of this DC universe. You know what I mean? I will wait until they reboot it all.
I am. I still haven't
seen Suicide Squad, and I still don't even want to see it. I have no interest.
Watch Suicide Squad. Jeremy watched Suicide Squad. I've watched Suicide Squad. Watch Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but all you've both done is say how badly it sucks.
There are moments.
Speaking of which, did you download Battlefront?
You missed the conversation beforehand. So on our last podcast, I might have said that I was going to download Battlefront Star Wars after the podcast.
Immediately after the podcast.
And so my answer to Jeremy's question is no, but I have a reason. I was led to believe that the Star Wars Battlefront game was going to be $10, but online all I saw was $30 or more. So I didn't download it right away. So my goal was that when the next time I go to Movie Trading Company, which will probably be this week or weekend, I have some gift card stuff up there that I was going to plan on buying it there.
Well, just make sure whatever you do, you get the season pass with it. Because if it's $30 online, and if that includes the season pass, you should probably just do that. Because otherwise, there's a lot of stuff that's really like the best stuff in the game that you won't be able to experience.
So is a season pass like the EA thing?
The season pass is all of the DLC, like the Death Star and Bespin and all that stuff.
So the season pass means you get all the DLC up until current, but then you still have to buy the EA thing too?
No, you don't need to buy the EA thing. That's totally irrelevant.
Okay.
Yeah, the EA thing is just so you can have access to different EA games. I'm talking about just getting the DLC for the Battlefront game.
Okay. All right. No, I still plan on it. Have any of you gotten Overwatch yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to get it. I've just got like three different games right now that I'm playing, and I'm trying to beat one of them. I don't want to keep adding more games. I can't handle more games, man. I can't.
I can't handle any more games. It's too crazy.
I've got shit to do.
So, yeah, no, I am going to get Battlefront. It is going to happen. But when you said that it was $10, I went on there. I'm like, oh, my God, it's $36.99. So I'm like, I didn't get it. But I was excited to. I really want to play it with you guys. I do.
It's definitely something that sucks, but it's fun.
Yes. But going back to what we're also looking forward to, I'm really looking forward to Kong Skull Island. I'm a big fan of King Kong, and this looks like a lot of fun. Also, we're getting a new Friday the 13th movie and a new Halloween movie this year. So the inner horror geek in me is very excited, even though my expectations are very low.
Right on. Yeah, I hope those are good.
Are any of you looking forward to Beauty and the Beast?
No.
Not really.
I am looking forward on the music side, Chuck Berry's new album. That will release this year.
You said Chuck Berry's new album?
Chuck Berry will have a new album put out this year.
I'm afraid.
Why?
Because I've generally found that going to seeing and listening to really old artists is depressing as fuck.
So who did you see that depressed you?
So Jeremy and I went to a B.B. King concert.
Oh, well, he was like almost dead.
he was still a few years off from being dead.
Like 5 or 6.
Yeah. And it was just, and so I've seen B.B. King, I've seen Van Morrison, I've seen Neil Young. I've seen the only one who is not disappointed is Buddy Guy. I've seen him twice, and he's fucking awesome.
All right.
But the rest are like, you know, like I love all those older artists, but seeing them in concert really just took away from my perception of them.
So, but you saw them live, but like if they put out a new album when it can be mixed and sound well, you know, you're not excited? It's been like 100 years.
There's no way that it's going to be as good as his younger stuff. It's just going to be how much worse is it than his younger stuff.
I bet you it's going to sound the exact same of his old stuff because that's him. He plays the same chords.
It won't even sound the same because they're using new equipment and new technologies. It's not going to sound the same. It's going to lose all of that old-time charm. You know, it's like taking Robert Johnson, putting him in a studio nowadays. It's not going to sound like Robert Johnson.
I don't know.
Trust me.
Trust me. I don't trust you. I don't. But yeah, that music side, I got video games. So, Mr. Atterbury, what are you looking forward to most this year in 2017?
Well, you guys named most of the stuff that I'm excited about already. You know, I had Star Wars, Mass Effect, John Wick 2, Logan, Alien Covenant, Spider-Man, and Red Dead 2. But there's a couple that we haven't touched on yet that I'm excited about. I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I totally forgot about that movie. I'm very excited about that.
That's going to be really cool. And I'm also very excited about the Dark Tower movie.
Is that still this year?
Yes, it is. My goodness. Coming out in 2017.
My word.
So I'm hoping that I think it was like July of this year or something like that.
Okay.
But I hope that's good.
Yeah, me too.
TV shows, I am looking forward to the return of Stranger Things and Mr. Robot for sure. Oh, and Better Call Saul, which will start up soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those. I'm looking forward to more of the Netflix shows like House of Cards.
Iron Fist coming.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that whole Defenders world that they're, you know, whatever they're doing with this year with that.
I need to look up the order that all that stuff's coming out in.
I think it's Iron Fist next, right?
Iron Fist next. Then I think there's like, I don't know if it's then it's the Defenders or if there's a Punisher thing or when we're getting another Daredevil. I don't remember the order.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're coming up on season 2 of Jessica Jones soon as well.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
We'll see.
This year is huge for releases. 2017. I thought 2015 and 2016 were pretty big. This year seems crazy.
We're getting a Thor movie later this year, also.
Oh, yeah, good God. Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I guarantee you Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be way better.
Who knows? Thor could be amazing. They may want to make up for having a second one that was kind of weak.
We don't like Thor 2.
This one's going to have the Hulk in it, so, you know, that adds...
Well, they were both missing from Captain America.
Yeah, that's because they're off doing this shit.
Yep. So, we'll see.
Because you couldn't have him in Civil War. It wouldn't be fair.
Because they just wreck everything. Unless
neither
it was
of those, neither of those dudes would have sided with Stark on that, and so it would have just been a pancaking.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
I'm also excited about Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, Game of Thrones does start later this year, but yes, it does.
Yeah, I think it's late this year. I'm always excited about that, and I assume we're going to get a second season of Westworld as well.
Right, but I have no idea when that would start back up.
Yeah, whenever, if that's coming out this year or whatever, give it to me. I'm ready.
You're ready? I'm ready for it, too. I'm ready. Well, good, good, good. So, Jeremy, anything else you want to add to this 2017 that you're looking forward to that we have not mentioned yet?
No, man, I think that's everything for me. I think there might be a Destiny 2 coming out later this year.
Is Destiny 2 releasing this year?
I think it might be.
So, like, this is, like, the official
I think
sequel?
It was actually already supposed to be out originally. I think originally it was supposed to be out this previous fall, but it got pushed back.
Oh, my God. What are y'all... Speaking of Destiny, have any of you guys played Halo?
No.
No, I haven't
not
either.
Not really. It's just not as good as Destiny. It's like shitty Destiny now.
I might
have
to...
Yeah, no one really plays Halo anymore.
I might have to sell my Destiny PS4 game and get the Xbox version for y'all.
I've decided that I'm not a Halo fan as much as I'm just a Bungie fan.
I love Bungie.
I can agree with that.
For a long time, I thought it was Halo that I was in love with until Bungie left, and I was immediately made aware of the fact that Halo in and of itself is nothing awesome.
Bungie knows what they're doing.
They do, and they're really fucking good at it.
Yes, they are. All right, well, let's move on to our American national treasure. Nicolas Cage, or as he was born, Nicolas Coppola. Nicolas Kim Coppola, actually. He was born in 1964. My goodness, he just, he's a good man. He was married to Patricia Arquette and Lisa Marie Presley at one point.
Both of them at the same time?
At the same time, man. At the same time. But no, he is part of the big Coppola family, like Francis Ford Coppola and Talia Shire and Sophia Coppola.
Francis's nephew, right?
He is, yes, I believe so. He is the nephew of Francis and of actress Talia Shire. And the cousin of Sophia. His first role on screen was in 1982, which was Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he really did not have a speaking part. He was just kind of in the background a couple times. So that was his first thing. Judge Reinhold was a bigger name than Nicolas Cage back in 1982. but then he got his big break in the Coen Brothers movie Raising Arizona, which is
what a magnificent movie that is.
That is oh my goodness, that's a great movie. I think that really brought him out of like into superstardom, because he was like perfect in that role.
He was.
Do y'all both like that movie?
Yeah, I
love that movie.
It's been a really long time since I've watched it.
There's so many good lines in that, and he is so good as like the nice guy, bumbling idiot criminal.
Yeah, he excels at that kind of role.
Because he kind of reprised that role in Con Air.
He did.
Less
bumbling idiot.
Speaking of quintessential 90s action.
Correct. So like there was a string of 90s movies where Nicolas Cage was the biggest action star of all time.
Con Air was a great movie. I loved that movie.
Con Air?
Yes, I love Con Air.
Oh my god.
It's got
goodness.
Steve Buscemi in it. What more can you want?
So let's go through 90s Nicolas Cage. This is a 90s show. He was in Firebirds, Wild at Heart, which is a big one. Honeymoon in Vegas. Remember that one?
Oh yeah. That's right.
Amos and Andrew. Guarding Tess, It Could Happen to You, Kiss of Death, Leaving Las Vegas, which I think is where he got his Oscar, right?
I believe so.
And then The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, City of Angels, Snake Eyes, 8mm. From The Rock to 8mm, holy God, you have The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, and Snake Eyes. Those are very 90s movies.
They sure are. Those are like some essential 90s movies.
So here's a little trivia, if you can answer. What was Nicolas Cage's character name in The Rock?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
Dr. Stanley Goodspeed. Goodspeed. Do you remember his character name in Con Air?
Nope.
Cameron Poe.
Oh, okay, I remember that. That makes sense now.
All right, and Face Off?
Hold on.
You can probably just list them.
It's two brothers, right?
Yeah, there's two names for them.
There's two names. Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
Castor Troy and Sean Archer.
Yep. Castor Troy.
those are good, but yeah, those are like quintessential 90s movies. But he's like, it seems like he's done everything though. And let's not forget, Nicolas Cage is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No,
No? How's he no?
He was in that Ghost Rider movie, but that's not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, it wasn't even Marvel Studios.
It wasn't, but still. So, wait. Ghost Rider was in 2007. Wasn't Iron Man in 2007?
I don't know. If it was, they were definitely not done by the same studio.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you wouldn't say that, like, all the Fox Marvel movies are part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I don't think you can squeeze Ghost Rider in there.
Okay. So what is your favorite Nick Cage movie?
You mean besides National Treasure?
Besides National Treasure.
I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I know Jeremy's going to back me up on this one. I love those movies, National Treasure 1 and 2. I am not ashamed to admit that I love those movies.
Those are your favorite movies of his? Really?
I'm not going to say they're – okay, I was joking when I say that they're my favorites, but they're definitely high up there. I, of course, I love Raising Arizona. I loved him in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
And I also really loved the movie that he was in, The Family Man.
Oh, The Family Man. The Family Man.
I think that's an awesome Christmas movie. I love that movie.
That was in the year 2000, and it was directed by the same guy who directed Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3.
That explains why it's awesome.
Good God. What about you, Jeremy? What's your favorite?
Man, I'll put the National Treasure up on the list. I'll go with The Rock. That's a good one. But he also had a string of ones that I liked a lot that I think were probably early 2000s. And I don't remember the order, but Adaptation.
Absolutely. We played Charlie Kaufman, the Kaufman brothers.
Matchstick Men and Lord of War. And I like all three of those movies a lot.
Jeremy, I just love you so much because I think my number one is Matchstick Men. One of my favorite scenes of all time is Nicolas Cage's meltdown in the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Where he that is like he is so good in that role. Like, first off, he plays like an OCD guy, but like when he's in that pharmacy, like that CVS, and he has like complete and utter meltdown because they don't have his medication, was so good. But he found out his medication was birth control pills. Oh, Matchstick Men is so good. Oh, so good. And then so Nicolas Cage was really on top of the game. He was making tons of money per picture. The movies were making a ton of money. And then at some point, he basically went bankrupt. And what's cool about Nicolas Cage, he is a huge comic book fan, like passionately. Like Ben Affleck, huge comic book fan. There was at one point that Nicolas Cage was actually going to play Superman in a movie that never got off the ground. But he had to sell his whole crazy collection, including Action Comics number one.
He had to sell it just because he didn't have money?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He went bankrupt. So this is why, like, in like the late 2000s, he was doing tons of horrible, ridiculous movies. Like, just, you know, B movie straight to Blu-ray or whatever, to make money. I mean, there was a couple in there that were really good, like his co-starring role in Kick-Ass as Big Daddy. He was awesome in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was perfect.
But, like, movies like Drive Angry, Trespass, Seeking Justice, Season of the Witch, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, G-Force, Knowing, you're just like, yeah, you're just like, these are so bad movies, and he would never do this.
Or this movie that you just showed us before we started the show.
Yeah, this movie that I got in for review. It's called USS Indianapolis, and it stars Nicolas Cage, Tom Sizemore, and Tom Jane. It looks terrible.
Is that the same Thomas Jane that played Punisher?
Yes. Oh, my God, it's Ghost Rider and Punisher in the same movie. Mind blown. So, but recently he was in a movie called Joe in 2013, and it was a independent film, and it was really, really good. I actually wanted him to get an Oscar nomination for it. It is hardcore, but it's called Joe. Look it up; it's excellent. But like recently,
I think that he's definitely underrated as being a you know, for being an actor, because he's, in my opinion, a really, really good actor. He's certainly capable of delivering incredibly good performances. He just needs a good director.
Yeah. I mean, so the last, like, really big one he had, I mean, he was in Snowden in 2016, but he wasn't a big role in that. Joe wasn't a big movie. I would say, I mean, Ghost Rider was in 2012. And when was the last National Treasure movie? 2007?
Ghost Rider was 2012?
Ghost Rider, the second one, was 2012.
Oh, okay.
The Spirit of Vengeance. So after that, it's kind of like he's just been doing, you know, B movies, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had a checkered career in the last 10 years or so.
But it was
I was kind of always assumed he was like Samuel L. Jackson, where it's like you have the big movies, and then he just does whatever he wants, you know, just constantly working.
But I think with his case, you know, I think he had
snakes
to,
on a plane and shit like that.
Yeah, but I don't think Sam Jackson ever like had financial problems, at least yet. I think he had real estate and tax problems. I think he got into tax situations and he had to like sell everything.
Nick Cage got into tax problems?
Yeah.
Or say okay, gotcha.
So
he pulled a Wesley Snipes, huh?
Yes, but like he like
minus the prison.
But like but Nick Cage also like spent his money like crazily. Like he bought like castles in England and homes all over the place and all sorts of stuff.
Naturally. I mean, when you're Nick Cage famous, you should have a castle, shouldn't we all?
From the guy who made Con Air, I guess so.
Exactly.
So yeah, in November 2011, Cage sold his Action Comics number one at an auction for a record-breaking $2.16 million.
Wow. I bet that was hard for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely he did. He sold a lot.
Kind of heartbreaking.
But yeah, he had to pay a bunch of taxes.
And that must have been a super clean copy.
Yep, that was what it was. And it says, to assist paying his tax liens and other debts, Cage purchased the comic again in 1997. No, wait. Oh, he purchased that comic in 1997 for $110,000. But he sold
it for profit.
Oh, that's a huge profit. So yeah, it's crazy, crazy. So yeah, I feel bad for the guy, but he's doing his stuff. Like he is saying yes to pretty much every movie, and I only wonder how much he's getting paid for some of these movies. Because I mean, he was making probably $15-20 million a picture in his prime, and now he is. You probably hire him for $1 million. If that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to feel bad for people that do 10 movies in a year and they get paid $1 million for each movie. Even if you were, you know, you're still living way more luxuriously than 95% of the people out there. So,
I agree.
You know, it's just not like, sorry, you can't have your castle anymore, Nick. But, you know, at least he still has his Beverly Hills home or whatever.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of Nick Cage. I want to see him succeed because I know he is a good actor, and we all know, like, we've seen like the montage videos of Nick Cage freakouts. You know, they're all funny. But yeah, like Jeremy said, like Adaptation and Matchstick Men they're so good. And of course, you know, you got to go with action movies like Face Off or Con Air or The Rock because they're so over the top ridiculous, but they're fun.
Brian, which of those – so, Jeremy, I think you said yours was The Rock, but Brian, which of yours is the favorite of the 90s Nick Cage movies, the action ones rather?
The 90s Nick Cage movies? Oh,
action
God.
Movies.
Action movies. Let's see.
Like Con Air, Face Off, The Rock, Snake Eyes.
It would – and I hate to say it because it's a dumb Michael Bay movie, but it probably is The Rock.
It's got Sean Connery in it.
Yeah, that's probably the reason why I love it so much. It's got Sean Connery and Ed Harris in it.
But Face Off is pretty fucking great, too.
Face Off is good.
Like John Travolta's
the love tap of him running the
face. Yeah, the dragging the hand down the face. There's just a lot of great stuff in that movie. I love that one.
It is. It's good. It's very good.
And Con Air is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah. And let's not forget he was in the remake of The Wicker Man. He was in Wind Talkers and Captain Corelli's Mandolin. I mean, he's just did like so many weird things.
All these movies, my brain is just completely ejected. I had no memory of any of these movies until you said that. I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing that happened.
That did happen. Captain Corelli's Mandolin had a trailer and a wide release in theaters.
I'm just really sad we didn't get the Superman movie that he could have. I feel like that would have been a really good thing to make, to capture. Even though it may have been a fucking train wreck completely, I still wish it had been a thing.
God, I just can't see Nicolas Cage, like, knowing his roles as Superman. It would have been so weird.
It would have been so weird, but I just wish I could watch it.
I do, too. Maybe one day he'll, I don't know, maybe we can get him to, like, do Superman or something. I don't know.
I think that window has closed.
Thoroughly has closed. That door is shut. The way is shut. Yep. Well, all right. Well, I think that's our 26th episode. I think we've had a few laughs. We talked about the 90s and
it was a lot of 90s stuff. We kept on coming back to the 90s today.
We did. It was a 90s day. I liked it. Oh my goodness. It was good. It was good. Good sir. But we'll be back next week with more Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. You can follow Jonathan Atterbury at newamericanfitness.net or New American Fitness on Instagram and Twitter, right?
Yes.
And then you can follow Jeremy Magert at Jeremy Magert Art on Instagram and Twitter, right?
Yep. And Facebook.
Yeah. Go check them out. See what they're doing. Give them hell on Facebook. And
Jeremy's drawn and I'm getting naked. That's kind of the sum up of it all.
That you don't know how true that is. And I'm Brian Kluger, of course, boomstickcomics.com. We are Mediocrity. Subscribe to us on iTunes and we'll be back next week, guys. Thank you so much.
Peace.
Later.